If you're worried about my sleeves being rolled up, it doesn't mean anything other than that they're wet. I forgot to roll my sleeve up, so this one got nice and wet. And I didn't want to put my jacket on over it and soak my jacket too. So it doesn't mean I'm doing extra work this morning when I'm preaching. It just means my sleeve is wet. I want to express my thanks and my appreciation to our church family, as you prayed for my dad during his illness and have continued to remember us in his passing on Friday morning. He was in the hospital 17 days, and he's free of that now, and we know he's with the Lord, and we're going to remember his life and celebrate his life Wednesday at 11 o'clock here at our church in the sanctuary. The visitation is going to be Tuesday evening from 5 to 7 at Colonial Terrace. I know that not everybody here will be able to be there on Tuesday evening, and certainly not Wednesday morning, but we know that you're remembering us and thinking of us and praying for us. I would just ask you especially pray for my mom. Some of you kind of know what her situation is. Some of you may not, but would you just please pray for her and especially for my sisters and my family as we try to make sure she gets taken care of. So she's going to have to transition from where they're living to another place, and we're not sure exactly how that's going to happen and the timing of that. And so just please continue to remember my family and my mom, and as I know you will. I greatly appreciate your prayers and your expressions. I also want to ask you to remember the Brennan Unthink family, a young man, 25 years old in our community that died in a car accident Friday evening. And he has a mom and dad and two sisters and a little boy and named Rowan. So pray for that family as well. And a thank you for your faithfulness for praying for people during their difficult times in their lives. So, I want to start this morning by just kind of asking you how things are going. We've been preaching this Love God, Love People series since the beginning of the year, and we asked you a couple of questions and we challenged you with a couple of goals. And so as you're on this spiritual journey you're on of following Jesus, how are things going? And are you faithfully pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? We started out asking you a couple of questions. I want to remind you of those. What's your heart's desire? And we started out the new year asking you, what's your heart's desire for 2020? And change that just a little bit. What's your heart's desire this morning? What do you love most, and what is your heart's desire? And then that second question, is it your heart's desire to glorify God? We started out with that to start the year, and I don't want you to forget that. I don't want you to forget those two questions. What's my heart's desire, and is it my heart's desire to glorify God? If you remember, we also challenged you with a couple of goals that we said would help you glorify God. If these are your goals, if this is where you're at, what you want in your life, and the that first one is the goal of loving God more. Loving God more today than we did yesterday. Loving God tomorrow more than we did today. And are we praying, asking God, Lord, help me to grow in my love for you? And has that becoming the desire of our life? Lord, I want to know you more. I want to love you more. I want to get in your word because I love you and I want to know you, and I want to spend time in prayer because I want to know you and love you more. I want to be in your presence. I want to worship you because in my own devotion and with the church, because I want to grow in my love for you. And that second goal was to challenge ourselves to love people more like Jesus loves people. to love people more like Jesus loves people. And so I want to ask you about that. You know, how's that going? Are you still remembering to ask God to help you with how you show love to other people and to love them the way Jesus loves them? So with that, the background of what we've been talking about these last few weeks, I want to continue with this, talking about love God, love people, a new commandment. Love God, love people, new commandment. And John chapter 13, you're going to want to open your Bibles there. John chapter 13, we're going to read just two verses there, verse 34 and 35. But this John chapter 13 starts out with this incredible word picture of Jesus and the disciples. They're in the upper room for the Passover. And John gives us a little snapshot of that the other gospel writers don't tell us about, but tells us that they've already eaten the Passover meal. And they've been sitting there, reclining at the table. Their tables were low. They didn't sit on chairs. They just rolled up and leaned on their elbow or something and ate at the table reclining. And John chapter 13 begins with a story about Jesus. He gets up from the table and he girds his robe up, wraps himself with a towel, and he gets a pan of water and he starts washing all the disciples' feet. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, gets up and he begins washing the feet of all of his disciples. And that's how John 13 starts. And then we go down through the chapter, and Jesus says, "Do you understand what I've done here? Do you understand what I've done to you?" And he tells him, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example." And then John tells us about some other things, tells us Judas goes out to betray Jesus, and the other disciples don't realize what's going on. They think Jesus is sending him out on an errand, and some other things happen there. But you get down to verse 34, and Jesus is talking and he is teaching the disciples, and this is what he says. John 13, verse 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." And then verse 35 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." A new commandment. A new commandment. And some people have read that and they've gone, "Really? What? How? Why?" Jesus has always taught people to love each other. And Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 in the Old Testament law gives the command, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus has on more than one occasion spoke of that commandment and taught that commandment. And he has in fact said that loving your neighbor as yourself is the second greatest commandment, after the first commandment to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So, what's new about this? Jesus has always been teaching to love your neighbor. He even taught them to love their enemies. And that which, you know, loving your neighbor, okay, I can get in line with that, but love my enemies, that's an even higher standard, a tougher bar to achieve. So what's new here? When Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another," how is that a new commandment? Well, I want you to see this. What Jesus is doing here is this. Jesus takes the command to love others to another level, a higher level. He raises the bar again. Loving your neighbor as yourself is pretty That's raising this bar above the way the world loves. The world doesn't teach people to love other people the same as we love ourselves. And so when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, that's, he's raising the bar. And when he says, love your enemies, he's raising the bar. But when he says, love one another as I have loved you, he's taking it up another notch. Love others in the same way Jesus has loved you. Think about that. Think about that. You know, ethical living is not easy, always easy. We get challenged in many ways as we live our lives, and sometimes we don't make it. Sometimes we do the wrong thing, ethically, morally, and in our integrity and our character. We don't always measure up. But this command to love our neighbors as ourselves, and this command to love our enemies, though it's tough, but neither one of those is as tough as loving people the same way Jesus loves us. And so we want to take a moment to think about that. We want to think about how Jesus loves us. How does Jesus love us? How does Jesus love you and me? Well, for starters, I want to tell you this. Jesus loves you as his neighbor. Jesus loves you as his neighbor. When Jesus tells us to do something, you can always know he's not telling us to do anything he doesn't do himself. Jesus loves you as his neighbor. You all know, you know the story, the Good Samaritan. I hope you do. It's in Luke chapter 10. It's a very familiar story. We teach it. It's a common story to teach the children. Preachers preach on it. I've preached on it. A guy comes along and asks Jesus, what's the greatest commandments? And he tells him the great commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. And the guy who asked the question, the Bible literally says he wanted to justify himself. And he says, so who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story, the Good Samaritan. And I don't want to go through the whole story today. You know the story. And if you don't, go to Luke chapter 10. That's your homework assignment. Go home and read Luke chapter 10. But you know the story. But here's what I want to point out. The point of the story that Jesus tells, where the priest and the scribe pass the injured man, walk right by and don't help him. And then the Samaritan, who the Jewish people couldn't stand and thought they were infidels, comes by and helps the man. And Jesus asked the question, who was a neighbor? And everybody says, the one who helped him. The point of the story is that your neighbor is whoever needs your help. You become the neighbor of every person you help. So the point of that story is that when there are people who need help, we're supposed to help them the way we would want to be helped. Love your neighbor as yourself. Render the aid to that person that you would hope someone would give you. Or your family, your wife, your daughter, your husband, your kids, your parents. If they're in need and you're not there, you would hope someone would love them enough and care for them enough to render that aid to them. You become the neighbor of every person you help. And Jesus loves you that way. He loves us this way, like a neighbor helping his neighbor. He helps us. He meets our needs as one who loves his neighbor as himself. The most vital, critical help every single one of us needs is forgiveness of our sins. You know, we face a lot of needs in our lives. And sometimes we face these little crises, and we think they're terrible, and we think they're horrible, and 30 minutes later it's done and it's over, and it didn't amount to a hill of beans. But there are a lot of ways sometimes that we feel like we need help. I could use help with this. I could use help with that. I could sure use a little extra come payday. I could sure use a little extra when the bills need paid. I could use some help with this health issue. I've got loved ones who have problems they need help with. But the single greatest need of every human being, every person in this room, is the need of having our sin taken away. It is the need of forgiveness from God. Reconciliation with God. And Jesus loved us as Himself. And He laid down His life for you so that you might be saved. He redeemed you with His own blood. So Jesus meets your need, your greatest need. The need of forgiveness and salvation. Jesus loves you as His neighbor, loving you as Himself. Second thing here is this. And there's a very good possibility you've never ever thought of this before. You may have never, when you're thinking about how Jesus loves you and how much He loves you, this may have never crossed your mind before. Jesus loves you as your neighbor. Jesus loves you as His enemy. Think about what I'm saying. Jesus loves you even as His enemy. You may go, what? How? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 45 through 45. If you look at that, Jesus is teaching. He says, this is actually a part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's almost to the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. But He says, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know, He doesn't stop there. It keeps going, and He says that, you know, if you just love the people that are your friends, what big deal? That's not a big deal. That's not much. So He says, love your enemies, even pray for the people who persecute you. You know, because this is what God Himself does. He goes on, he says, His sun shines on both the good and the bad, the evil and the good. And by the way, the sun shining, we love the sunshine. They didn't. They lived in a hot, dry place. And whenever there was sunshine, they were looking for shade. They did not think, we read sunshine and we think, sunshiny day. But that was not necessarily a good thing. The blessing was God pours out His rain on the just and the unjust. And the rain was a day of celebration. When it rained, they celebrated. He says the sun shines and the rain comes on both the righteous and the unrighteous, the just and the unjust. And then He goes on, He says, what if you love those who love you? Big deal. Even tax collectors, He says, love the people who love them. And why did He say, why did He use tax collectors? Because they hated Him. If you think the IRS is not appreciated today, the tax collectors of that day, they hated them. They considered them traitors because they were collecting taxes for the Roman government. He says, even these hated, awful tax collectors love the people that love them. And He says, even the Gentiles love the people who love them. Love your enemies. And it's what God does. And you say, okay, so God loves His enemies, but you said Jesus loves me as an enemy. So I can understand, Brother Randy, you're telling me to be like God and love my enemies. But I'm still not sure about this thing that Jesus loves me as an enemy, because I don't really think of myself as an enemy of God. Well, here at Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." And Paul is talking about that point, place in your life where you were not yet a believer, you were not yet a child of God. And he says you were an enemy of God. And that while you were an enemy of God, Jesus died for you. That whole chapter, it's so great. We've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And he goes on, he says, "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." The ungodly is you, and the ungodly is me, with sinners. He says, "One will scarcely die for a righteous person," and he's not saying we are righteous people. He's saying we are ungodly people. God shows His love, verse 8, "God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And that's then in verse 10 where he says, "While we were enemies." Understand that while you were still living in rebellion, while you were still living selfishly, while you were still doing things like Frank Sinatra, "I'll do it my way." I'm getting old. There are people in this room who don't even know who Frank Sinatra is and have no idea what I just said. I got to come up with something new. I need some new material. When we rebel against God, we are God's enemy. And Jesus loved us as His enemies. While we were separated from Him by our sin, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 14. "For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility." The wall, there was a wall of hostility between us and God, and Christ broke it down. "By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." We're enemies of God. We're in a hostility with to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before you." Jesus loved you as an enemy. You broke God's law willfully. You did what you knew was wrong willfully. And God sent His Son into the world to die for the world. And Jesus died on that cross for your sins. Jesus loved you as an enemy. That is so incredible. You know, Jesus was hanging on the cross, nailed to the cross. Just take a moment. Don't let that just pass by. Nails in His hands, nails in His feet. He's hanging on a cross. And He looks down at the crowd and those soldiers who nailed Him there are there, and they're gambling over His clothes. And the high priest and the Sanhedrin, they're there gloating over Him, hanging on the cross, mocking Him, saying, "Hey, He calls Himself the King of the Jews. Let Him call the angels and come down." And the crowd, the same multitude of people who stood outside of Pilate's judgment house, and when Pilate said, "Who do you want me to release?" They said, "Barabbas." And then, "What do you want me to do with Jesus?" They said, "Crucify Him." And He looked down at those people. the soldiers, the high priest, the Sanhedrin, that mob. And he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. So Jesus loved his enemies, even from the cross. And so Jesus loves you as his neighbor, and Jesus loves you as his enemy. But I want you to see this. Jesus loved us from the cross. Jesus loves us from the cross. He loves you from the cross. Every one of us in this room, our sin helped put Jesus on that cross. And he died to take away the power of sin and to redeem us from the power of sin and the power of the grave. And I can't help believe that when Jesus looked out, those people that were literally standing there, and he said, Father, forgive them, that he was also speaking of us. Father, forgive them. Forgive us. Forgive us. Jesus loves us from the cross. It's how Jesus loves us. He loves us as his neighbor. He loves us as his enemy. He loves us from the cross, and he says that we are to love one another as he has loved us. We are to love one another the way he's loved us. And he loved you like a neighbor. Loved you as he loves himself. Loves you even as an enemy, redeeming you out of your sin. And loved you from the cross. Yes, he went to the cross out of his love for his Father, but he also went to the cross out of his love for you. What greater love is there than the love that Jesus has? And we're to love each other as he has loved us. Wow. So go back to John 13, verses 34 and 35. Let's look at that again. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And then he said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Everybody's going to know you're my disciple. That's a good thing, right? We're not secret disciples. We want people to know that we follow Jesus. And it's a good thing for people to be able to see that we're his disciples. So he says, by this they will know you're my disciples, because you get out of bed every Sunday morning and you go to church. Is that what he said? They will know you're my disciples because when you're self-righteous and at the same time judging the sin of other people. Well, I'm better than that. I'm doing everything the Bible says. I'm doing what Jesus says to do. I don't do this, I don't do that, and I do this, and I'm a good person. And they're not. Is that how people can tell we are? No. But what about just by being good people? Just being good people and being nice to people and basically always trying to do the right thing? Not really. How people know we are disciples. How people know. It's not enough just for us to say we are. That's a part of it. We need to tell people, I believe in Jesus. He's my Savior. We need to be baptized and publicly make that statement. I've died in my sins with Christ, and I've risen to a new life. Jesus made me somebody that I didn't used to be. We need to say that, but there's more to it than that. I'm giving you this new commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Not a little bit like I've loved you, not sort of like I have loved you, but just as I have loved you. And by this, all people will know you are my disciples. People know we are disciples when we love people like Jesus loves people. How does the world know that we really are believers and we're not just hypocrites? How does the world know that we really are followers of Jesus Christ? It happens when we love people the way Jesus loves people. When we follow Jesus by acting like Jesus, by treating people and loving people the way Jesus loves people, that's very different than how the world does things. That's not how the world loves people. You know, the worldly love is often self-centered love. The love of the world often it is about loving those for what is best for me. I'm going to love them because it's good for me to love them. Loving people the way Jesus loves people is never about us. It's about Jesus and it's about the people. And so when you love people the way Jesus loves people, it gets people's attention. People notice. People will see there's something different. Whoa, this person's different. When was the last time somebody really noticed that there was something different about you? And it was a good thing. When was the last time you didn't just blend in, but you love somebody the way Jesus loved them, and they said, wait a minute, this person must be a Christian. This person must be a follower of Jesus. Because you love them the way Jesus loves them. This happens when we love people as our neighbors. Jesus loved us as His neighbors, and He commanded us to love your neighbor as yourself. This thing of loving people the way Jesus loves people, it starts with loving our neighbors as ourselves. When we love people as our neighbors, that's the second greatest commandment. When you feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty and you clothe the naked and you visit the sick and the prisoner and you welcome the stranger, whenever you do this for the least of these, it is as if you have done this for Jesus Himself. When you do what the world's not doing in meeting needs and showing kindness and ministering to hurting people, they see Jesus. You see, when we love people the way Jesus loves people, it actually gets the eyes off of us and gets the eyes on Jesus. So, people will notice that we're and know and see that we're the followers of Jesus when we love our neighbors as ourselves, and also when we even love our enemy. When we even love our enemy. If you want people to know you're a follower of Jesus, love your enemy, because nobody in the world ever does that. We live in a world, a culture where we hate people because they disagree with us. We hate people because I believe abortion is wrong and they believe it's okay. We hate people because of moral issues. Because they disagree with us on what's moral and what's not. I think homosexual is okay, and these Christians over here think it's wrong. I hate those Christians. We even hate people because they don't support the same politicians we support. Oh, I hate those Bernie Sanders socialists. Oh, I hate those deplorable Trump people. We hate people because they don't support the same politicians we support. Can you imagine that would ever come to that day? That Americans would hate fellow Americans because we have different political beliefs? We used to all just hate the politicians. All of them. And now, We hate them because they vote different than I do. You said, no, the world does not love their enemies. But Jesus does. And he calls us to love our enemies. If you want people to see that you are different and that Jesus is different, love your enemies. Pray for the very people who persecute you. The very people who are throwing huge fines at somebody because they wouldn't bake a cake or make some flowers. Pray for them because they were Christians. Pray for those people that are doing that. Pray for the people who get up on TV and call you names. Pray for the people that are around you that persecute you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Pray for them. Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. And that can be both literally and allegorically, symbolically, when people strike out at you. We've got some work to do with my grandson Max, who's 20 months old. We got on the elevator at the hospital last Sunday, and he wanted to push every button, of course, on the elevator. And there was a man standing in there, had on a farmer cap, and friendly-looking guy. And Tim, my son-in-law, grabbed Max and picked him up, and so that he didn't push all the buttons, so we wouldn't stop on every floor. And the man thought, everybody thinks Max is cute. I haven't met anybody who doesn't think my grandson Max is a cute kid. Everybody loves my grandson Max. And this man thought he would kind of be playful with Max. And Max had a little bruise above his eye where he had run into the wall. And he just... Somebody correctly said he reminds them a little bit of Bam Bam, from the Flintstones. And the man saw that little bruise, that little welt over his eye. And he said, and he balled up his fist. And he kind of playfully kind of made a little poke at Max. Says, looks like last time you did that, somebody kind of took a poke at you and Max was going to lay that guy out. I mean, he made a fist and reared back and was swinging. He was swinging on that guy. And he meant to connect. The man was able to step back and his dad pulled him back. We've got a little work to do with Max on turning the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. People that are demanding unreasonable things from you, meet that expectation and go even farther. Do even more. And maybe they'll become a believer when they see loving your enemies in action. It's not promised that they will. So love your neighbors as yourself. Love your enemy. You want to love people the way Jesus loves them? Well, he loved you from the cross. Now, we can't go to the cross. We can't hang on a cross for the sins of the world. We can't do it. Even if we tried, it wouldn't do any good. We're sinners. Our death will not purchase anybody's salvation. But this is what we can do. We love people like Jesus loves them when we love people with the gospel. When we love people with the gospel. Now, don't skip past those other two just to get to that part. If you want to really show the gospel, you got to love your neighbors as yourself, and you need to be loving your enemies, or otherwise the words of the gospel begin to get kind of hollow and unbelievable. But when you are loving your neighbors yourself, and you love enemies, even love your enemies, and then you stop and talk about the love of God, the love of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again from the grave. He is the Redeemer that every single one of us, including myself, has to have. People can see Jesus in the way you're loving, and your words are going to have more power and impact. We love people with the gospel. Jesus loved you from the cross. The least you can do is love Jesus and love people enough to tell them the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. We ask you to choose a one. We have that who's your one thing. Those names are still up out there. They've moved down a little bit because some people are loving some little girls and making dresses for them, and they've hung their dresses up, and they were kind of covering those names in the prayer challenge up, and so they moved them down a little lower. But they're still out there, and those dresses are out there too. And things like that, folks, that's how we love people. Are those going to Puerto Rico? Haiti? We don't know. We're just making them. Okay. Some little girl is going to love that dress and know it came from Jesus. But who's your one? Who's your one? Don't stop praying for them. I'm pretty sure we've baptized 7 people in the last 2.5 months. I'm pretty sure that I haven't had anybody come and say that was my one. But I'm pretty sure that there's a couple people that have been baptized who was somebody's one. And it may be more than that. Choose somebody to love the way Jesus loves people. Love them like a neighbor. Share the love of God with them and share the gospel with them. Pray for them. The last thing here this morning is this. Loving people changes us. Loving people changes us. Makes us more like Jesus. And when we love people the way Jesus loves people, it changes us even more than just ordinary worldly love. Loving people changes us, but also this, loving people changes the church. Loving people changes the church, and you can tell the difference. In churches that are full of people who love people the way Jesus loves them, and churches that don't care. And you better believe the community and the world can see the difference in those churches. And you can have 2 churches sitting in the same town, and one of them might have more people than the other one. And you can have a church full of people who are very religious, but don't really love people very much. And you can have another church, and it may be a small group of people, but people know that church loves people. When we love people the way Jesus loves people, it will change the church. And then loving people changes the world. We talk about this world. We shake our heads over this world. We see what's going on in this world. And we say, somebody ought to do something. You know who needs to do something? It needs to be the church. And you know what it is we need to do? We need to love people as our neighbors, and we need to even love our enemies, and we need to love people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we love people the way Jesus loves people, it changes the world. It will change the world you live in. It will change your home. It will change you. It will change the church. And it will change your world that you live in. Loving people the way Jesus loves people. The new commandment. New commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Heavenly Father, I just can't fully understand and comprehend how great your love is for me. I know I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. But Lord, I stand here this morning.